So this is why they're not. So I've already mentioned this horrible number of $40 billion. Well, it's not horrible, it's remarkable. But there is possibly, if you add the industrial investment and the academic investment and the international investment, maybe there's $100 million a year of effort going into superconducting. So $100 million is not very big compared to $40 billion. So even if Intel thinks superconducting is better than what they're doing, they find it very difficult to do anything because they have to grow that $100 million investment with all the experience of how you build, all the things you need to build. They have, which is where, if you like, CMOS technology was 15 years ago or something, or maybe longer, you have to grow that into this $40 billion superconducting industry. So that's an incredible effort. So the fact that the semiconductor industry is so sophisticated, as I point out, makes it extremely hard, even for a technology that's 100 times faster, to actually make it. Now there's another problem, which is, I think, pretty challenging, which is an area where somebody with a clever idea, or several clever ideas can, this is actually a serious problem with this technology, is that you cannot build dense memory chips out of this technology. If you look at the density of chips that you get out of this, it's just not very dense. Now that doesn't matter for microprocessors because they're so fast. Unfortunately, you end up, if you look at the natural let's not talk about parallelism, we'll talk about just an ordinary sequential superconducting machine. You end up with this, you look at the natural design, there's a wonderful superconducting CPU. It's got about, at best, a quarter of a megabyte of cache memory sitting next to it, built out of superconducting quantum fluxes. And then all this real memory is made out of CMOS DRAM or CMOS SRAM. And unfortunately, that's hundreds or maybe a thousand times slower than the CPU performance. And so you have a terrible problem in the mismatch between the memory performance and the CPU performance. And so it's not so obvious these machines work. So that's a good reason why Intel shouldn't pour its energy into them. And suddenly if you put Microsoft Word on, if you build a superconducting system and put Microsoft Word on it, it'll probably run no faster than the Pentium because it's entirely dominated by memory accesses. Might run slower because this system actually has a smaller cache than some of the best today's microprocessors. So there's a really interesting challenge, which I think will, the most likely thing to impact this is some clever person who designs a better superconducting memory. And as far as I know, people haven't looked into it. It's just a totally open field. Because I say the whole field was abandoned. In fact, this is the third problem I have. Most people in the field think superconducting technology is ridiculous because IBM had this huge effort which they just terminated. So it has a very bad press or reputation. And they have not realized that in some sense there's been some technical innovation since 1983, which means you should relook at the situation. So actually there's very little work in this field. And now the alternative, which actually is a thing we'll find out that we need to do anyway, is that we need to find new software and new clever algorithms that allow such computers with very bad memory hierarchies with a huge ratio of CPU performance to memory speed in the wrong way, namely memory is too slow. That you'll find actually is going to be true of most machines. This is particularly bad here, but we need new software and new algorithms which will alleviate that. But I don't think that's going to get you a factor of 1,000, at least that's my intuition. I think that's got to be some clever person who